cardiologist who practices in Columbia, and also teaches Torah in many different venues to everybody and anybody. And but aside from all of that, I say to him, he's really a special person. It's really a terrific privilege to be able to have you. We try to do whatever we can to make sure that we have the during the third year of Baruch Hashem with Dr. Apelazim coming. And I urge you all, and this I'll say very loudly because Dr. Apelazim would want that, is that please take advantage of him, not just in the shiurim, but take advantage of him being here, having a connection with him, not just this year, but even when you leave the shiurim here. He really, I think from what I've seen, Baruch Hashem, it's really special to serve as a mentor to medical students in every area, halacha, hashkafa, personal issues. Really, really take advantage of having such a connection with such a special person.
So you've made it as a pulpit rev, as a shul rev, where you could adequately make an exaggerating and embarrassing introduction. You're there.
Okay, that's it.
All right. Good morning, everybody. We have two items. One is the original. And then, as you see the topic we're going to be discussing, just coincidentally, this happens all the time. Baruch Hashem. It's Yom Hashanah, no doubt. I was preparing a drush for a Shoshana. And I came across, I was reading something, Levinsohn Sefer, and it just fit in very well, so the last minute I read that also, so we're going to throw that in. Yet. So, just a quick overview of what we'll be focusing on over the course of the year in Yitz Hashem will be the inyanim and the halachos of Shabbos that are nageya to a person starting in medical school and throughout residency, fellowship, if applicable, and then lifetime as a doctor. There are many, many inyanim. We've spoken about them over the past 2 years. The beauty of this is we're going to start all over for those that have been here. But I'm hoping that each time it's different a little, or at least to some degree, always learning from past experience and past issues and comments and reactions of people both here and people outside, including many Talmidei Chachamim that I've spoken to as a response to some of the issues that have come up in this year, and it's given me an opportunity to raise issues with people, so I get to supplement what we've spoken about with more definitive information from the local, meaning the New York metropolitan area at least, and contacts in Eretz Yisrael, Talmidei Chachamim. So I was all set originally to start off with the first topic, which would be the issue of studying medicine on Shabbos, medical student, the issue of going to conferences and different medical school obligations on Shabbos, which in Yitz Hashem we will start next week. But because of another phone call I received along the lines of what I'm about to describe, I decided at the last minute to switch the topic. And that's what you have in front of you, is the last minute switch topic. You might be able to figure out what it is, but I got I think I remember mentioning the same similar phone call last year, but I got another one of these phone calls from somebody who happens to be not an alumnus of Einstein, but another medical school, and is currently in the middle of residency and is going to fellowship and is grappling now with tremendous guilt. Why is this person having tremendous guilt? Now, this is something you may or may not relate to, but the reason this person is having tremendous guilt is because they feel that it's now crunch time for them. They've managed to get out of any issues of Shabbos to a large degree. Certainly in medical school they didn't have any, in residency they didn't have any. Now, in the fellowship that they're about to approach, for the first time, as happened to me, they're going to be confronted with no way out, but they're going to be on Shabbos. And as much as, you know, I spoke to them at length about, and this individual knows his stuff, knows the halachas very, very well, and knows the parameters of heter, Nevertheless, they feel that they're living their life now as a diyevan. That was the expression they used. Right? Isn't this just a diyevan? So I said. Well, that gets to a very fundamental discussion we should have had 10 years ago, but I don't think so. I told him I don't think so, and I said, more than me, I want you to call Rabbi Willard. I sent him to Rabbi Willard. And I said, please call Rabbi Willard, because I once had a conversation with him exactly along these lines, you know, about 20 years ago. And I know that he hears it. He understands you, and he knows what you're even talking about, and I think you should talk to him. And, you know, he did. And nevertheless, he still called me back and needed further chizuk for what he was doing. But the issue, and I'm not quote, this is not Rabbi Willard's Torah that we're about to go through, but I'll maybe save at the end Rabbi Willard's comments. But the issue is, just to begin with, and it stems, the feelings of guilt stems from several sources. One is the teachings of, let's say, Rav Shechter, to be right up front of them. Rav Shechter has a shita in this area about becoming a doctor that's pretty well known. And he came to the fore last year, right? A lot of people were reacting to his, I have it over here, his little piece, part of this book, Shmir Shabbos for Doctors and Medical Students, where Rav Shechter really communicated his emphasis. You know, he thought you were going to get a little piece on Halacha L'maisa being a doctor on Shabbos, but instead Rav Shechter really shared with us his concern. And his concern is the many people who, for let's say, reasons of being ill-informed, rather than to say that they don't care, right? People that are ill-informed, many jump to the conclusion that once you're in the medical field, it's a heter gomor for everything in terms of Shabbos as well as other halachas. And he just felt that that's a problem for whatever reason. He heard from people that this is an issue and a concern, and problems are going on all over the place with people being Mechal Shabbos and totally inappropriately. So the thrust of his piece in the Torah web was to that effect, telling us that that is not true and people should not have that misconception. So that, and this individual who had called me was a big Talmud of Rav Shechter, so that was part of where he was coming from. And also, you'll hear it also from time to time from other people. I think Avraham, when he came to YU last year, was somewhat discouraging also in terms of becoming a doctor. So I wanted to just tackle this very difficult issue. Is becoming a doctor, to some degree, learning to become a doctor, is that the Mechatfila Diyad? We have to really look at it that way. Are we settling for something and choosing this route? So it's certainly an area open for discussion, but I'm going to try to build the case against, and then respond. Meaning, where does a lot of the, let's say, Rav Shechter, when you speak to him, as I have on this issue, so a lot of what he has to say stems from two Igros Moshe that are on the front page of this handout. Before we get to it, though, I want to start with just a direct quote that's going to be no news to anybody. The Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah is very explicit, very clear, something that is axiomatic for us as well as anyone who considers themselves a serious, traditional, God-fearing Jew. Kol Yish Yisrael Chayev B'Talmud Torah. Bein Ani, Bein Ashir, Bein Shalom, Begufo, Bein Baal Yisurin, Bein Bachar, Bein Sheyazakin Gadol, Shetashos Kocho, Afilu Ani Hamatzi Apsachim, Afilu Baal Isha, Ubanim Chayev B'Kvor Lozman B'Talmud Torah, There's no one who doesn't have that starting point. The starting point is, obviously, Talmud Torah is essential, it is everything, and Chayenu Baruch Yameinu, it's just everything that we're all about. G'dolei Chachmei Yisrael, haya mehem chot le'etzim, mehem shovim mayim, u'mehem sumim, afal pichayin, hayu oskim b'Torah b'yom u'v'alayim. And then Halacha Yud, imasai chayav adam l'mol Torah, ad yom osa. Right, you have to learn. There's no question about it. Talmud Torah is the most significant mitzvah, arguably, that we have, and no one differs in that being the starting point of all discussion. Question then comes up in saying to yourself, if you're going to choose to become a doctor, right, if you're going to choose the field of medicine, is the reality, of course, is that the amount of learning that I would do, right, to choose a different vocation, a different parnasa, is certainly going to be dramatically affected by choosing to go into medicine. No matter how much we try. Now, and it's clear that this, the group here that I've seen is unbelievable in this regard. In the kviyas itin the Torah of this chevra, and not just trying to flatter you guys, is unbelievable. Far more than in my day, when we were in medical school, we did not have the type of depth and volume of learning that goes on that I've seen here. So you should feel very proud of yourselves in general about that. Nevertheless, had you not chosen to go into medicine, it could be likely that you'd be learning a lot more. So what's your excuse? Right? You're supposed to optimize. The thrust of the Rambam is that we should be learning as much as possible. The thrust of the Torah, Shema Peh, is that you should be learning as much as possible. So how do we legitimize it? Is it an issue of Pikuach Nefesh? That's the question. Right? Many will say, well, look, I want to get involved in Pikuach Nefesh, Pikuach Nefesh, Docha, Koli, everything, right? Except for cardinal sins, but certainly Pikuach Nefesh has to be up there, and maybe that's it. So that's what the Moshe Feinstein addresses. He addresses that, don't tell me about Pikuach Nefesh as an excuse to be getting into the learning of medicine, studying to become a doctor, because it's never going to hold up. And he says this in two contexts. The first is in the, any Kohanim here? Okay. So the first context in which Rav Moshe discusses this issue is in the context of his tshuva on a Kohen becoming a doctor. So we're not getting into that issue right now, but I will share with you Moshe's approach on it. And he, in just one specific detail of that shiloh, he was focused on a kuntris that he had found. The writer of this letter, I think it was Rav Shimon Schwab, actually, the one who asked the shiloh, who sent this shiloh to Rav Moshe, because there were people in his community, in the Boris community, that were becoming doctors, Kohanim, and that had happened already, and he wanted to know, you know, what's our take on this, you know, what should we do, and Rav Shimon Schwab sent a kuntris, or he told Rav Moshe about a kuntris where the person was matir, an Adam Gadol, whose name never appears, because Rav Moshe has some pretty harsh things to say, and who was matir, Kohanim, to become doctors. And the basic foundation of his argument was Pikuach Nefesh. So, listen to what Rav Moshe has to say about that. It's right on the top line, right? After he gives a whole discussion about his feelings independently of the kuntras, about the Kohanim becoming doctors, right? I'm happy to talk to anyone who wants to talk about it after Shir. Aval Ayanti be akuntris shehu atzmo gam ken mesik she'ein lahatir l'kohen af bizman hazeh l'tamin ha'mesim. Aval matir mitzad achev. He said, after his whole argument, Rav Moshe, the tshuva, was all about whether or not there's an iser for a kohen to be matamin himself bizman hazeh. Right? It's a whole discussion. So Rav Moshe, of course, concluded there certainly is. And he said, you know what? The kuntris agrees with me that definitely mikra adin, it is definitely still usher, right? We're not samach on this ravid, is it from this ravid, and shlomel. There's a whole discussion there that we're not samach on anymore, and it's still usher. Aval matir mitzad acher de pikuach nefesh, right? But what was the argument of the person in the country? So the reason that a kohen could learn to become a doctor, despite the fact that there's an isser potentially involved of being no gay lames or ohel mes, you know, all the details are important, but not for now. But no problem, because, again, he's using the argument that we want to use, potentially, for justifying giving up Talmud Torah and to become a doctor. This is what Moshe says. This is, to me, the most incredible statement, this one I'm about to say. I've yet to understand that fully. Exactly what that means, because if that were, I've been talking to people about it, because it's really difficult for me to understand. I understand the emphasis where Moshe is going to emphasize that to learn to be a doctor is no mitzvah, no chiyuv, and therefore you can't be docha any surim, you can't say you're using pikuach nefesh, etc., etc. But what he says here is incredible. He says, if there were no other doctors in the world, I would have passed differently on that child, and I don't understand it, but anyone that wants to share an insight in a way of making sense of this. But to me, that's a very difficult point. But it certainly drives home the point.
It could be in the long lines, like the Sefer of Force kind of thing. Like, really, the bottom line is supposed to be a spell, therefore.
forth. To
Moshe is very clear in other contexts, right? He has a tshuva to Mechaim Sadiq, where he's very clear that he's not holding that. That's not Bizbanina, he's not holding that. It's, that's for the Ramban, the Chukosa, and another time and another place. But Mashiach maybe, Gan Eden maybe, but in the real world we can't be Samach on that kind of thing, and we have to be Mishadel to our fullest extent. So, what do you think?
It's not at the same time.
In other words, if there was a Chol HaFanim, that type of thing. Right, that's his point.
Right.
And I understand it in a general sense, except that if there's mamish, if I were in a, let's say, if I was in a situation, I'm in the middle of some community that has absolutely no access to medical aid, and there's no doctors there right now, the likelihood of there being scholars that must require a doctor is such that to me it's like a chol lefaneinu, so chol lefaneinu, we got to get somebody to know this. And if, if that theoretical, hypothetical situation were able to play out, I say that's mamish pikuach nefesh. It goes beyond the point. I mean, I'm getting off topic. We're going to get into pikuach nefesh a lot. And one of the things we're going to see is that it's not mamish chol lefaneinu that drives pikuach nefesh. We're going to see there's exceptions to that. There's likelihood that plays a role. And to me, this is an incredible statement. If there's mamish, no doctor in the world, so, the only one who's going to do it, unless the idea is, well, other people should do it. Maybe that's it. Like, other people should do it. The Kohen shouldn't have to do it.
Maybe this what he's meaning is that it's just excluding the term for the Goth Method. We're told that it's made and applied to the Goth Method. Don't apply here. But other issues of responsibility. I don't remember. I know that the Rambam discusses who must live in a town to be able to live there.
Right.
Is there a Reifa?
Yes.
So then, if it's a double category, you have to have a Reifa.
Right.
And someone has to learn.
So, but I guess it would be the community responsibility, right? It's the community's responsibility. This is what Blaichmi writes about this town. So he emphasizes that symbol, and he says, and realize that, he makes a big dichotomy. There's the community responsibilities and the individual responsibilities. That's certainly the Kehila Tzibur's responsibility. Exactly. That's how I've been related to this.
But he's saying, just you can never apply the blanket of Nefesh issue.
Right, as a het there to be Doche Yisurim for the purpose of learning to get there. Right.
The truth is, if you don't say like remission, where does it end? The person's a doctor in a small community, if he doesn't specialize in a certain thing, maybe he should have to specialize in that just because somebody might get sick with that.
Ah, so that's a similar argument that we're going to see Rav Schechter made to me orally one time discussing this issue. Well, yeah, I'm going to get to that. There's something very similar to that in a minute. That's very good. Anyway, getting back to the Igros Moshe. So at the end of the day, Rav Moshe even touches upon our topic more directly. So he first develops this idea, again, just to summarize his main point, right, beyond my difficulty with the situation of no doctors at all. He says is that, certainly there are doctors around. There is no chiyuv on any individual to learn to become a doctor. You can't ever say that pikuach nefesh is your reason to be doche ani yisurim. And here it's the context of a kohen to be tamei lemeis. But he throws in the following. V'af Yisrael shemeiniach melilmod bishvil pikuach nefesh shiyaser kishiyilmod chokmas refua sheleika beze af makom litos af lo hisnats lut levitol torah. Here he's talking about us. This is mamish what we're talking about. He's touching upon. He's saying that even a Yisrael who's going to say, you know what, I'm going to be mevatel Talmud Torah for the purpose of this pikuach nefesh, even that, I don't think that that's a proper equation. You cannot tell me that your heter to do this is because you're concerned with pikuach nefesh. He deflates our whole argument. If you're going to come at the issue of what allows us to come in and get involved in this field of medicine and give up significant amounts of Talmud Torah, he says, don't tell me it's pikuach nefesh. And he reiterates it in this other tshuva about cutting up bodies, autopsies, and being involved in the anatomy lab, right? Did you see this tshuva? Did you include it in your article? All right. So here, again, he's making the argument that the heter of being menavel ames does not find any justification, or even an autopsy he's referring to. No justification because of pikuach nefesh. So he starts off, he quotes the famous Noda Behuda, the tshuva of the Noda Behuda, who said the whole koach Cholo Lefaninu concept, which the Rebbe says, we're not going to allow you to do autopsies even for the purpose of finding out medical information that can save lives, because it's too hypothetical, it's too theoretical. It's a chash kala, in the words of the Rebbe Yehuda. So Rav Moshe says, what? Who cares about chash kala? He goes beyond the Rebbe Yehuda. He says, even if it was a chash vada, you know, it's real chash, not just a chash kala. Even if he said, and bismanenu, it's very dachlok for the Rebbe Yehuda to say it's just a chash kala, that, oh, it's, you know, so theoretical, we'll never use this information. He says, bismanenu, there's much more tangible information that we're getting from an autopsy that has immediate potential use somewhere in the world. Communications, sophistication of what we can do with an autopsy. He says, I'm not going to use that. He comes back to his thesis. He says, however, I'm going to say it again, that there is no chiyuv for a person to learn to become a doctor, and therefore it's not going to be docha any isurim. And then he says one more thing that I want to just point out. On the bottom of the first column, he says the following. When he's talking about, okay, let's start talking about, so why would somebody do this? Why would somebody, you know, give bidocha yisurin, bidocha talmud Torah, bidocha different things to get involved in medicine? He says, the harei adarabba, chazinan shemisha torasa umnoso, kerav shimon bar yochai, the chaveirav, lo asku b'malachtam rakadei chiyosam, v'nechshav zeh l'mayla hayoser gedola. This is very important. So he says, as we're going to get into this in the discussion of this issue, we're going to get into the idea that, look, so what is the bottom line? What does God want from a Jew? What are we supposed to be doing? What is the highest madrigal we can reach in terms of, you know, getting involved in Talmud Torah and in other things? So we're going to see, you know, I'm not going to get into the term, not the term Derecheretz, we're going to dismiss those very quickly, we're not going to get into those whole discussions. But he's taking a stand on something here that's very important to make note of. And that is, you should know that in terms of learning to do anything that will then enable you to do another mitzvah, so learning to become a doctor so you can then get involved in Pikuach Nefesh, or learning some trade and getting involved in some business that allows you to make a lot of money so you can give a lot of tzedakah, none of that's legit. Because what's the maila hachi gedola is to be like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Shimon Bar Yochai and Chaverov, whose maila was that minimize everything else, be totally immersed in Talmud Torah to the utmost of time and potential, and just be, if you have to do any parnasa, it should just be minimal, it should just be to the amount that allows you to live. But we see from them, they felt no responsibility to get involved in some kind of business that they can make a lot of money and give a lot of tzedakah, even though that's a mitzvah for them, and they felt certainly no responsibility to get involved in becoming and learning to be a doctor, even though that would be a mitzvah of the Talmud Adam Yerecha, etc., etc., and healing other people. They felt no responsibility to do so. Theirs is the Maila Hachi Gedol. He definitely builds a very strong case for the Taina that these guys that are calling me are coming with, which is there's a certain guilt that stems from this. So wait a second, you know, I'm a serious guy. I can learn well. And I can accomplish. And I want to learn. So, am I doing something wrong by now, A, getting involved in medicine altogether, and all its time-consuming constraints, and B, when it comes to Shabbos, am I getting myself in trouble in putting myself in a position in a field where I'm going to end up being Machal Shabbos and being Dochei Yisur? Maybe I'm like missing the boat completely at the get-go. And that's the type of setting for our Shabbos. It was here on page 2, I gave you a little sample of Rav Schechter's piece that we saw last year, right? Where he starts right off the bat emphasizing, look, the Vilna Gaon also could have been a great doctor. His father didn't let him do it because he knew. Once he did it, right, as Rav Moshe said, and I didn't emphasize enough, in his pieces, he does emphasize, once you are a doctor, once you're there, then the chiyuv is tremendous to get involved in the Pikuach Nefesh and get involved in everything. So that was known to the Gros father, so the Gros father stopped him from becoming a doctor because he knew he'd be the greatest doctor in the world. And that would be it. No more time for Torah. He would have to dedicate himself to patients. So Rav Schechter, by putting it over here, is implying that that was the way to go. That's setting the model for us. A brilliant person is not obligated to go to medical school in order to learn medicine in order to save lives. Only one who already knows medicine is obligated to take time away from his learning to attend two issues of Pikuach Nefesh. That's it. So you finish with Rav Schachter, and anyone who wants to see the whole piece, I have it over here, because it's really emphasizing this type of mahalach throughout the whole thing, and Rav Moshe's Tetshuvas, and you found the starting point for the Shai. Before I offer my response, does anyone care to respond to this? Has anyone thought about this?
Well, again, he's basically saying that you can't use the term Pikuach Nefesh as an excuse. Pikuach Nefesh would excuse you from your Perek HaShabbos and Perek HaHadaros, but you don't need that. You don't need to use Pikuach Nefesh to go with your job to get a business or investment bank or anything else. You choose your job based on certain constraints that you have, and then you go with it all. You make time for learning. And if a person is able to do as a doctor, Perek HaShabbos,
in other words, you shouldn't even feel guilty.
In other words, I mean, unless
I'm trying to remove guilt.
That's my intention. Unless you really feel that your debt is going to be
good,
you should find the thing where you're going
to
be.
Right. I'm with you 100%. In other words, we have to get to the concept of an atiyah. The person helps. So, you know, I found that I've heard it spoken about myself. I wanted to find some cause, just to get rid of my guilt. Right? In other words, 100%. Right? We're going to be directly in the same wavelength. I wanted to support it with, first of all, I wanted to see some Dolan say something, which Baruch Hashem found, and develop this idea in a little more formal way. But it's going to be the point that you're making, 100%. Right. Absolutely. There is no chiyah for someone to be concerned with pikuach nefesh to obligate him to go in his mahalach. That's his point. Right. That's all it's limited to. That's the mistake that everybody tends to overlook. Right. They're not saying, even although I'll tell you about my personal conversation with Shachar in a moment, but they're not saying that they don't seem to be saying in writing that they feel it's awesome for a person to make this cheshbon in themselves. And that's going to be the key. The key is making the cheshbon for yourself. And doing it in an honest way. Doing it in an honest way and being motivated fully b'shem shemayim. That's the key.
Yeah. When I spoke with Rabbi Block, my friend Rabbi Block, about this general topic, this idea about whether going to medicine or sitting and learning your life, and he quoted, I think it was one of the Bob Cherubim, I don't know which one, and he basically said that if you have an atiyah, this was his quote, that the Natiya is based on Kodesh Baruch Hu's way of telling you, of trying to give you guidance to where you should go.
Exactly.
I like that.
That is the tshuva pshuva. That is the answer. That is the ultimate answer. Hopefully everyone in this room has heard it. So that explains what you're doing. But what I was seeking was a little more. I wanted to see it in the Rishon. I wanted to see it in some Achron.
I heard from Rabbi Flam, a quote, I think, from the Rizu Yachasim or something. I have it downstairs, that if somebody feels that his team life is to go into medicine, and he doesn't, when it comes up to Shemayim, he's going to have to answer why he didn't save people's lives.
Good.
Find that inside.
It's an illusion. We're going to have to look at it right now. It's safe from Hasid. It's very good.
Not to play devil's advocate, but if I have an Atiyah to go on vacation...
Much more fun.
Right? If I have an Atiyah, you know, that I want to go to the
very good. See, that's what excellent. So that's the foil that we want to work with, right? That's why we need more mushes. It's too easy to say, right? It's the tea business.
But also, right? the Shabbos is usually unique to medicine, but with regard to Talmud Torah,
I'll tell you, it's very okay.
No first nowadays, though, with regard to most professions that the people who are applying to support their families would apply to, you know, lawyers are working long hours.
Yeah, why pick on us?
Right, no, I'm saying that's not necessarily unique to...
100%. In other words, in terms of those other professions, we got the same issue with people Torah.
Right.
100%. 100%. I don't know why they pick on doctors. The reason they do pick on doctors, and by the way, they do pick on doctors. I hear this mouthless all the time, but I don't. My lawyer friends don't hear it so much. It's funny. Well, the guys in business, that are, you know...
Right.
So who's being committed to the
right? So, that's what they do.
But Shabbos, no, I think you're 100% right, because Shabbos becomes a critical issue. And as a matter of fact, we're going to see, the first topic we're going to do, this idea of studying medicine on Shabbos. So one of the issues is studying medicine, getting involved in medicine on conferences on Shabbos, is that a problem of min tzachet tzachav v'dar v'dar? Right, that's going to be our next next week. So we're going to see that there's a Rabushe Morechanim that hones in on, it all comes down to one thing, is study to be a doctor a mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah or not? Is it a mitzvah to be something that's real thing? If it is, so we know, tzachav tzachav, chatzei shamayim are off the hook. So his psak was determined by that determination. So that gets us back, you know, according to Rav Moshe, I'm getting the feeling it's not. It's not a mitzvah Islam in those warfare. According to Rav Shachter, it's also not a necessarily mitzvah Islam in warfare. Now, it's not a chiyuv or it's not a mitzvah. So we gotta work that too. So, we all know where we're headed. We're headed to the Tia land. But I wanna sort of develop some makaros that substantiate that idea. So, what I was not gonna talk about, right, was Torah Mada. So I immediately brought this the Shut HaRashba to say this is not a Torah Mada discussion, right? Whether or not you're allowed to study secular subjects, that's not our issue at all. Even the most antagonistic to the study of secular subjects were Mati, or the study of medicine, right? So this Shut is the famous Shut that they ushered all secular education till the age of 25, and then, you know, whole Chayram, a whole big deal. With one exception, Vautsanu Michlau Gzirasenu Chochma Sarafus, Afa Bishi Lekucha Minateva, Lefishator Nitla Rishus Lerofi Lerofi. So even that very strong group in 1305 that outlawed all of secular education, Torah Mada antagonists, they were Mati the study of medicine. So it has nothing to do with that. And the other thing I wanted to eliminate right away was page 3, the Torah in Derech Eretz discussion. This isn't the Torah in Derech Eretz discussion either, right? Because I think Lamaskan, everybody agrees, you know, with some exceptions in Eretz Yisrael, for the most part, and some places in the United States, that we had an incredible experience. I'm teaching now in MTA in high school. So they had a very famous Baal Musar come to the school, an amazing person, really an amazing person. He's obviously living in another world, literally. Grew up in Panovich and just lived his whole life there. It's a tremendous long kacham. So he came to speak to the boys of MTA. So it was a very challenging thing for him to do, as you might imagine. It was even challenging for him to speak to the Rebbeim, because he sat down and he had a shiur with the Rebbeim. So one of the Rebbeim says to him, so, because he was saying, what do you want to talk about? So he said, well, give us some advice. Give us some advice on how we could be inspiring to our Talmidim. So he said the following. It was incredible. He said, just to give you, and by the way, I believe his shita is a legitimate shita. I don't have to fall into it or agree with it. I know the shita upon the Torah, that this shita is legit. Right? It's got strong makaros as well, as the one we're going to say. But he said like this to the Rebbeim, and like I walked in just at this moment. And like, I had no idea what the prelude to this thing is. I walk in and I see everybody's face like this. This looks good. So I come in there and I hear him saying the following. He says, you know what you should tell your Talmidim? You tell them that everything you've taught them and everything they're learning in this place is completely b'diyavid and they really shouldn't be doing it. That was the opening line. So, whoa. Welcome, nice to meet you. It's kind of a rough thing as a guest to come in and say that, right? But he meant it wholeheartedly. He was a person, kulo MS, you gotta see, he's like a, I'm telling you, he's just like a walking neshama, just glow, right? He's an amazing person. He really felt this way. He felt the need to say it. He, you know, he had been around the school and he heard, he saw what was going on, and he knows the reputation of YU, etc., etc. So he just said, you should know that really the maila is Rosh Bar Yochai. It's bekoshi that you do anything else. It's b'zeis ha'bechadrochim, it's a klola, and you should do everything you can to avoid it, you know, etc., etc. Including, you know, just be dependent on other people. So, there are people like that, right, who have a shita that is legit. Of course, we know the sugyas. These are famous sugyas. The sugya on page 3 from Brachos, right? Amar abayi harvei asu kirbi yishmol v'alsu b'yadam kirbi shim v'yuchay v'lo alsu b'yadam, right? That's the bottom line of that sugya. The sugya is telling us there are yechidim that are destined by their netiya. Here's where we first going to start seeing the concept of netiya, right? There are those. What is the word telling me other than that there are netiyos in people? It's not saying one is doing the wrong thing and one is doing the right thing, right? Could be Rav Moshe is telling me that it is those people that are like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, okay, they're hidden in the highest madrega. But it's clear that the Gemara is telling me that's not, don't think it's for you. It's not for everybody. There's many people it's not for that madrega, right? The consensus of opinion is that parnasa is necessary. You're not going to be some chalanes, that your parnasa will be taken care of and just forget about life. Right? That's the advocate, that's what the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is advocating. So we, you know, to turn their heretz in this sense is l'chuli alma practically, with yechidim that are isolated to be doing otherwise. And same the Gemara in Kiddushin, another famous Gemara, at the end of the Kiddushin, there seems to be a stira between Rav Meir, who says, you know, a person should teach his son omanus, and Rav Naharai, who says, I am menich, ani kol omanus sheba olam, ve'eni melamed ispanai eletorah, etc., etc. Right? So that's a stira, right? Except that the many in the Farshim point out, who was Rav Naharai? Rav Meir, the same person. On the one hand, he's telling me I should teach my kid Omanos, and then on the other hand, he's telling me that I wouldn't teach him anything except for Torah. How do you explain such a paradox within a person? So, the acceptable, what's the most reasonable explanation for that? It's the same concept, because there are nitios, there are different people that are destined by their genetic makeup or their Shama makeup, whatever it is exactly, it's b'shamayim, that decision, but that are going to go a certain mahalach and others that are going to go a different mahalach. And both are legitimate. There's not one to feel guilty about. You're not a failure if you're in the rove, right? And you're not in the yutah that can go this other way. So we're not going to talk about the Torah Derech Eretz issue either, because I think it's like a dagda pasha. What we are going to talk about is the Sefer Chasidim that we were just alluding to. Because what do we have now? We have three starting points. Starting point number one is that there's a mitzvah nechiv to optimize al Talmud Torah. Part number two is that it's mutter to learn medicine. Everyone agrees to that, even the Rashba and those that were outlawing all of secular education. And point number three is that it's mutter to have a parnasa. The question is, can I choose a parnasa like medicine that will significantly minimize my Talmud Torah and get me involved in other Yisurim when I could just avoid it by, I don't know, opening up a some eBay business or something that my kids keep telling me they want to do. So, what's the deal with that? So, I think this piece from Sefer Chasidim, which is what Rabbi Blau, who is it, Rabbi Blau?
Rabbi
Flam. Rabbi Flam was alluding to. I think he's alluding to this. It says, right, who wrote Sefer Chasidim is Rav Yehuda Chassid. What's the status of Rav Yehuda Chassid and Sefer Chasidim? This is a little controversial, it's worth knowing this. It's made up in Sefer Chasidim, if you look at it, there are the halachic statements he makes, and there's a tzava, right? Everyone knows there's two parts to it. The controversial part is the tzava, right? That's where a lot of people are saying he's going to be halacha, and not necessarily everybody in Chuyama holds it up as having halachic significance.
It's also written as a personal tzava.
Right, exactly. So it's not written in the context of the tshuva as a real halachic statement. But this is not one of those. This is, I want you to know, this is one of the halachic statements. So it says, "Ksiv al tehit tzadik harbe al tischacham yosef." I think that, what a great opening for this, what he's about to say, because this is like, he's making his own little sidebar here. Don't be such a tzadik, don't be such a tamachal, don't think you're so like, you know, it's like what I want to say to myself sometimes when I start thinking a certain way. Don't be such a tzadik and a chacham. What are you talking about? So the following. Echad haya sha'amar lo aviv. There was a person whose father said to him, "Tilmod lefanai sefer refuos, learn medicine." So Amar Ben, the wise son, said, "Lo elmod, I'm not going to do it. I will not learn medicine. Why? Ki kesheeda merchok chole ani. When I hear that there's this chole ani, this poor man who's sick far away, imlo ilech sham ereni chotev. I don't go schlepping out to take care of him. I'm a chotev." And if I do go, v'yamus, ayadai humes. What am I looking for? V'im lo eda refuos, eni chayav. Just like Rav Moshe said, right? But if I never learn medicine altogether, I'm off the hook. Right? So Rav Moshe, I would assume, would finish the piece right here. That would be it. This is a raya for Moshe Shita. Right? And there's no mitzvah, there's amid leos rofe. I just don't do it, and then I'm off the hook. So amru lo hakrovin elav. You're missing the point. If you would know and learn medicine, they would be alive, they would live. Bilasos ve'encha osa velomed ki ilu ata tamisosa. You're making a big mistake. Your reasoning is off. This is, to me, this is so sincere, this is something that Rav Moshe has to explain. Right? What's Rav Moshe's pshat on this line? Because what it's saying is, look, no, it isn't just a question of, oh, if you start learning it, then you're chayev, and if you don't start learning it, you're off the hook. This is implying, since the yecholes, we have to explain that more, you have the yecholes to do it, and you don't do it, then you are responsible for their deaths. This is a rishon, right? You're the chazak on the balitosos. This is a significant statement by a rishon, alluding to the fact that there is a legitimacy to the argument that if I consider myself to have this netiyah, yecholet, I'm calling yecholet netiyah very liberally now, but I'm going to substantiate it more in a moment, then it's almost an achrayus for me to go into medicine, let alone something I should feel guilty about. And Rav Avraham Price, right? Anyone heard of Rav Avraham Price? Toronto? One of the Nolan of the early 1900s. He wrote a perush on the Sefer Chassidim. So listen to what he has to say about this. He really takes it to its natural conclusion. So he says, Shiyumul Chochmas HaRefuah, I'm on the third line, Mitzvah Gedolehi. Uman emnu divrak tevarai ki alo rabbeinu kosev bekan shemi sheyeshul yecholas nilmo taras harefuah ve'eno lomed chashev kilu heimis haseilu shehaya yachol lirafos. The Hagam, now he acknowledges shemi sheyeno lomed taras harefuah eino older ashur mitzvah. There's no chiyu for every person in the world to become the doctor, right? That's not what the message here is. Ki einzo mitzvah mutelas al kol adam Yisrael ulam ze baror. Unbelievable. Same chat here is, well, the actual conclusion that we would have drawn, at least I drew Pashut chat, which is that number one, it's okay, granted, not everybody has to become a doctor. But if you have the yecholet, whatever that means, and in the context of the Rishonim, how did they become doctors? That meant one father, the father taught his son. It was in the family. That's what the yecholet meant back then. So it was considered that you had a responsibility to do it. Now, of course, let's say the father of the doctor had a son who just couldn't handle science or couldn't handle medicine. So obviously that son wasn't yecholet. It was yecholet was who had the netiyah to do it. And here to me is a raya berura in the words of a Rishon, that is true, and the words of one of the Gedolei Achronim of Price, that not only is it mutter, it's an achrayus, and it's a shvichus damim if you don't go that way, if you have found yourself that way. And the Gadol, one of the Gedolei Hador, more recently, that makes this kind of statement, that's the thing I was really searching for, right? You know, Rav Avraham Price is another Gadol, but it's tough against Rav Moshe, you want a little more balance in terms of a thrust. So I found it in the Chalkas Yaakov. The Chalkas Yaakov of Yaakov Reich, he's certainly one of the Dole of the door. He's up there. Right? This is what he has to say. So this is in the context of the topic we're going to do next week. So forget the beginning part. It's all about Mitzvah Chefzecha and whether studying medicine and going to an anatomy lab on Shabbos is okay. That was his issue. He says at the end, it came down to, do we say Tchafzeh Shamayim? Studying to become a doctor, not a doctor. Studying beyond that, is that something that we can consider Chafzeh Shamayim? So on the very bottom of the first paragraph, three lines from the bottom, or actually it's five lines from the bottom, I had to write in a little because somehow I got cut off. Im ken benidan dinenu, dedoma le hai, de siman shin vav, si vav. That's the siman of Amira B'Shabbos, and Mincha Chetzel Dabar Davar, right? It says over there that there's certain heterim, the lamdo sefer, like we say in Tzmiros, or monos, right, to teach your child a sefer, to teach them a craft. That's very interesting. We're going to talk about that. Teach them some type of craft. That is considered bichlal mitzvah, that is part of chafzei shamayim that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. The hi bichlal chafzei shamayim, the leis be mishum mitzvah chafzecha. In chen hachanami keba dehu gamken mitzvah shiyelo umonos lehisparnes bekavod. He says, and to become a doctor is not just a parnasa, but it's a parnasa bekavod, which is a mitzvah. Right? This is incredibly... Why you theology over here from the Chalkas Yaakov? It's very impressive. If I was giving a why you pep talk, I would throw this in for a second. Here's the Chalkas Yaakov. He's not exactly a why you person, right? But he's recognizing one of Rav Soloveitchik's fundamental principles of many of his writings. That is, that there's something, there's a mitzvah to be hispanis bekavod, to have something that's dignified, right? V'gam zeh sh'yeh rofe Yisrael, v'gam charedi, sh'nimsa mizeh harbe pa'amim tovos la'klal. He says, and it's so important for the klal, very often, to have doctors that are from. It's an important service, an important mitzvah. It's completely considered a mitzvah to learn to become a doctor. He uses it, part of his tshuva, to be matir mitzvah chatzah. I thought that was a major, major statement. Major, major statement.
What's his mark of that? Like, what is he really basing
on? He's, well, I think it's more of a question, what is the other approach? What's the makor for the other approach? My inclination, if I could be objective, would have been that to learn to become a doctor is a dharma mitzvah. If you're doing it for shame shamayim, you're doing it for the right reasons, you know, I would have for sure been inclined to say that that is a mitzvah. So he's basically telling me, dharma pasha, to learn to be part of this omanus that is going to be helping so many people is a mitzvah. And that to me is intuitive. I don't know. I understand that it's not docha, you serve like kof nefesh. It's not like that. It puts a perspective on Rav Moshe. To me, it's like, maybe Rav Moshe, what he's saying is that, you know, it's not the equivalent of Pikuach Nefesh to learn to become a doctor. But to say it's not a mitzvah, why? If you're doing it for money, then it's not a mitzvah, right? If you're doing it l'shem shamayim, because you are going to your avodas Hashem is going to be, your kiddush shem shamayim is going to be in helping people and making them better and taking care of people, I think that...
it's nice, where's the mitzvah? And like, what since when are mitzvahs based on the tios in a person? I feel like it's like a still very subjective.
No, no, it's, the mitzvah is for a person, the mitzvah we're going to see in a second, but the mitzvah is for a person to fulfill his obligation to be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim as an Obed Hashem. That's the general mitzvah we all have. Right? That's our general. Actually, let's do this right now. Go to the next page. I said this to you guys once last year, but the new people's on. I'll say it again. I always have to say it. This little piece, I think it's going to answer the question. Rav Schechter has, in Nefesh HaRa, in the beginning, he has a section called Balach Debedrachav, right? So, what's his whole point in Balach Debedrachav is that's part of what it means to be a Jew, is to emulate Hashem. Mahu Rachum, Mahu Rachum, etc., etc., right? So, he was making the point Rav Schechter is actually making in this piece, is that the Rav sometimes took life too seriously, of Soloveitchik, and he was given a little musser by a friend of his, the Rebbe, also, who said to him, you know, look at this Gemara over here. You see, you don't have to take life so seriously all the time, right? You can, you know, just take it easy a little, right? Live yosem, right? So that's the part that Rav Schechter emphasizes in his piece in Nefesh HaRa, right? The Gemara says as follows: Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Rav, Shteimasrei Shaus Hayu Bayom, right? In Hashem's day, this is a description of what does Hashem do in a 12-hour day. So, Shalosh Rishona, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Osek B'Torah, Shnios Yoshev Danis Kol Olam Kula, Kevin Shirosh Yischayev Olam Kliya, Omed B'Kisei Adin Yoshev Akisei Rachamim, Shlishi is Yoshev B'Zanis Kol Olam Kulo, Mekarnei Re'em Ad Beitzei Ki, Revios Yoshev U'Mesachid Im Leviosa. So, what is the point of that Gemara? Right. So, the point Rav Schechter was making was, he was emphasizing the Levyasam time. That we see from here that there's clearly time to let your hair down. You know, everyone needs a break. But what about the rest of the day? What's Hashem's day? So it's divided into four parts, right? He's Govenit in the Torah, that's number one. He's involved in Chesed, that's number two. He's involved in Parnasa, in being Zion, it's called Olam, that's number three. And Levyasam, that's number four. So Balach Debedrachav to me tells me that's what a Jew's life is. Those four parts. Talmud Torah, Chesed, Parnasa, Levyosim Tam. What's the responsibility? Where does the Tiyah come in? What are the percentages of each of those four parts? It doesn't mean 25%, 25%, 25%, 25%. Right? Everyone's got to decide in an intellectually honest way based on what they know, and based on their Talmud Torah, based on their discussions with Rebbeim. How should I divide my four parts? So a person like Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Stipler, etc., is going to have 90% Talmud Torah, or whatever, 85% Talmud Torah, 15% Chesed, and all of Yassin time maybe, I don't know, right? Everyone's going to decide for themselves who they are and what they are, but you got to do it the Shem Shemayim, right? So that's what we all have to do. Now, how we do this is going to be depending on our netios. Are we a person that can sit all day and learn? Are we a person that, maybe I can't sit all day and learn, I can become a very serious itim, but I want to be obey the Shem in other things I can do. You know what I could do? I could be a great doctor and I can help many, many people. All that is a kaveya, a kvias of your netia, the Shem Shemayim. And what I really liked about the little piece I added, that little extra piece, was Rav Nevinson. I think Rav Nevinson said the very same thing. In this piece, it's in the middle of Sicha on Rosh Hashanah. So he says the following. He says, he quotes a Gemara from Kedushin, the last half of Kedushin, which is a very famous Gemara. Ef shel olam lo basam u lo borsi. Right? Everyone familiar with that Gemara? He says, "Mekadei Shem Shamayim, Yeshnan ki yadua drachim rabos lisum rayon niskav ze." There are many ways of expressing this idea of kiddush Shem Shamayim, which is all our responsibility. He says, and certainly choshev kol echad shadarko hu anachona. Everybody thinks they got it right, right? Everyone thinks they have the will, right? The people in every neighborhood and of every flavor of orthodoxy are sure they are the ones being the kiddush Shem Shamayim. He says, however, you know, we have a great hint on what to do from Chazal. They say in Kiddushin, Yev shal olam lo basam, u'lovorski. You know, the world needs beautiful perfume and the production of perfume, and it needs tanneries. Ashrei misha umnaso b'shem basam, v'oilo l'misha umnaso borski. It's true that we need all these things. However, sarich adam l'chafes la'atzmo keder chayim, miktsoa sheyeti v'saruch li'yishabo, es ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvah shabbat. That's what we have to do. That's our obligation. And you have to find the mitzvah when you do that the best. Ve'agam shekol ba'al mitzvah mesayeh besofel shel davar l'shichlul ha'olam. Right? Everybody's hoping to improve the world. Aval tzarech la'asok b'davar shemesayeh yeshirus l'tikun sheikaru kemuvan tikun ruchni. He says, we all have to find a way that we're going to do this that will at the same time be a tikkun ruchni within ourselves. Lefichach, what's the bottom line? Gam adam she'eno yachol la'asok yeshirus b'Torah, right? There are many people like this that are not going to be mechanchim or sitting and learning all day and being about it. Ve'ole b'daso lios menahel on mosad kol shehu. If you're going to be something else, let's say you're going to be your netiyah is, I'm going to be the menahel, I'm going to be the manager of some type of mosad. So he says, try to make it something that's a manal of a yeshiva, or something that has to do with some Jewish course, something where you're doing some other kiddush Hashem, avodas Hashem, right? Whatever your netia is, it's another expression of that idea. Do it in a way that you're going to be accomplishing the same type of great kiddush Hashem. So I would say, Dabar Pashut, now at the end of the day, before I have my cyclical attack here, those of you from last year remember that this happens to me. We're learning about Basil Bagel episodes. I'm having one right now. Once you see me start sweating like this, it means my sympathetic nervous system. Should we get into this now? I just wanted to end before I have to sit down, that the bottom line is, the message is, it's one that you all came with, I assume. And I knew you did, because somebody who's coming and going into medicine and yet is concerned with Shmir Shabbos to the degree they will hopefully come to the shiur and we'll share many of the details that is so important to know to be doing the great mitzvah of being a doctor in a way that is totally l'shem shamayim and careful. You knew that it was related to the tia you had to be over the shem in this direction. What I was hoping to accomplish in today's little diversion was to see that these are very legitimate mikoros and rishonim and achronim and gedolim. And it is nothing for anyone to ever feel embarrassed about, or doubt about, or ashamed about, or guilty. Something that you should be proud of, right? And of course, it should motivate you to do it as much as possible in Shem Shamayim. The one sheet that I didn't get to, if you look in the handout, was a quote from the Tor and from the Nishmas Avraham. Take a look at it at your own, you know, on your own, where the emphasis is that now that you've decided to become a doctor and you're going to be a doctor, you want to do it right, you have a tremendous achrayus to optimize your medical education and to learn as much about, as much as I want you to learn, Torah, and we should learn Torah as much as possible. The emphasis really over there is that first and foremost, now you've got to learn to be really, really good doctors. So, Mr. Shem, we'll continue next week with discussing on what about doing that on Shabbos and stuff. And we'll take it from there.
Thank you.